God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. In the season after Pentecost, this green season, our worship, our scripture readings, our prayers, our liturgical texts shift from the story of who Jesus is, Jesus being born into the world at Christmas, the incarnation, Jesus being revealed at Epiphany, Jesus' journey to the cross at Lent and Holy Week, and Jesus' resurrection at Easter. We shift from that to hear the stories of Jesus' teaching and healing, of Jesus' followers, his disciples, learning about his new vision for the kingdom of God, and growing in faith. So too for us, this season nestled in the months between Pentecost Day and the reign of Christ, before the season of Advent begins all over again, is a season of learning and growing, learning not only who Jesus is, who God is, but who God through Jesus calls us to be. Now, last week, our gospel story was that of the Good Samaritan, a parable that continues to be well known in our culture that is largely unfamiliar with the biblical narrative. So thinking about what we know about the Good Samaritan, what do we know about the story and what it teaches us about following Jesus? The deepening of our faith involves asking different questions about what it means to be faithful. And when the rules that we follow might stand in the way of us doing God's work in the world, when the rules that human beings put into place actually inhibit or prohibit the love and care of the gospel of Christ, which of course is always meant to be experienced as a living word. So we, as we live in community, in the world together, with all life, the parable of the Good Samaritan raises up the question of neighbor, not only who is my neighbor, but also who are we as neighbor? Now, in the biblical world, there were rules and customs about your neighbors. People like you and me. People who looked like you. People who came from the same ethnic background as you. People who worshiped the same god or gods. People who understood the customs and norms that were established over generations. But Jesus, in typical anti-establishment fashion, introduced a new way of understanding neighbor, of understanding who we are in relationship to God and to one another. Jesus' primary goal throughout Luke's gospel is helping people to see and understand and know God in this new and countercultural way of the kingdom of God, right here and right now, and also not yet. Which brings us to today. Jesus and the disciples go from the place where Jesus is telling the story about the Good Samaritan and are welcomed into the hospitality of Martha and her sister Mary. Already from the outset of this story, we experience hospitality. Now, within the biblical world, hosting and hospitality were socially and culturally important. It held great significance and great importance. Jesus and his disciples, likely weary from their journey, are welcomed warmly into Martha's house. And like so many women before her and so many after, Martha is consumed with hosting her guest. Now, whatever our gender, how many of us can relate to Martha's experience? Yeah, sure. There are still cultural norms about hosting others. There's still a lot of pressures unwritten rules about what it means to be a good host. And a lot of what we think or have been taught about hosting involves not only a lot of preparations ahead of time, but the need to be continuously attentive to the needs of others. In other words, hosting and being a good host requires a lot of effort. Now, some people like this kind of effort. I love it. Who likes it? Yeah, some people like it. Some people, on the other hand, would rather just order a pizza and just keep it simple and manageable as long as there's time for the really important things, and that's just being together, right? But Martha seems that she likes this kind of work, and she takes it very seriously, this work of hospitality. Now, alongside Martha is her sister Mary, who we do not find alongside Martha preparing for their guests. Instead, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, taking in his words, most likely turning his ideas and teachings over and over in her mind, engaging in a different kind of work, and certainly different than the kind of work that would have been expected of a woman in her particular cultural and social context. Mary's work is something Martha takes issue with. In fact, taking issues with what is considered women's roles and what is considered men's roles still happens today in the world. I can't tell you how many times people are still shocked at thrifties to see me in a collar. I kind of like the gender bending, not going to lie. But in the context of ancient Palestine, in this area of the world, women's roles were centered around the realm of the home. And it's not uncommon to hear stories in the Bible about women preparing and serving meals, like in the story of Simon's mother-in-law preparing a meal after Jesus has healed her. While Luke does not explicitly say so in this story, it's safe to assume that Martha was preparing this meal for their esteemed guest and friend, Jesus. Martha, then, is only doing what is expected of her from the culture that she lives in. Mary, on the other hand, isn't anywhere close to helping prepare the meal for the guest. Instead, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, women may have done many things in biblical times, but women at this particular time did not sit at the feet of a rabbi, a teacher listening to his teachings. Nor would the teacher or rabbi condone such behavior from a woman. So it is both Mary and Jesus who are breaking social norms. Now, knowing this and knowing how much work is involved in putting together a meal, we can start to understand Mary's frustration with her sister when she says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, there's a couple of things that jump out in this piece here. First of all, is that Luke does not report whether or not Martha speaks to Mary about her concerns. Instead, Martha goes to Jesus with her complaint. Not only is this unhelpful in terms of communication and conflict resolution, the second point is how totally awkward this must have been for Jesus and everyone else in the room, for Martha to call Mary out in front of the whole room and to expect Jesus to do something about it. But I imagine this is just another teaching moment. I'm not sure that it would be included in the good housekeeping lists of best practices, but here we are. Now, often, too often, this text has been used, has put Mary and Martha in opposition to one another. It has suggested that Martha is less faithful than Mary, or that one must choose whether you're a Martha, the doer, or Mary, the listener type. This is also incredibly unhelpful, and not what Jesus is saying here. Both Martha and Mary are deeply faithful individuals. Both Martha and Mary love God and neighbor. Here again, Jesus' response to Martha. "Martha, Martha," he says her name twice, "you are distracted by many things." Now, the Greek word for distraction, he's waiting, is perispeto, close enough, I guess. pulled, it means pulled in many directions. Now, no doubt many of us can relate to that sense of distraction. I know I can. We live in distracting times. We are exceedingly busy people in the midst of it. There is no shortage of activities and tasks that keep us engaged and on the go and in all kinds of directions. Even if we've not had the experience of hosting a dinner party, we do know the experience of having many commitments, expectations on our resources of time and energy. We all know too well what happens when we're pulled in many directions. And it's exhausting. It's frustrating. And it indeed can be life-draining. There is a tendency to forget in the chaos of trying to get to where we're going in the midst of all the distractions, the reason why we are doing all the things that we do. There is a tendency to start believing that who we are is connected to what we do, that our worth is in what we do, that our worth is in what we accomplish. We glorify business and even demonize others for wasting time when they could be getting things done. Martha is caught up in her distractions and not able to see and hear Jesus. Jesus who has come with many things to say. Jesus who desires to share the good news of the kingdom of God with anyone with ears to listen. Jesus who is not pulled in many directions but has set his face in one direction alone, and that is towards Jerusalem. And as he journeys there, he is sharing in the care and healing that happens when we are attentive to one another, in the giving and the receiving of hospitality with our neighbors. We get caught up in our distractions, our obligations and expectations, and Jesus says to Martha, as Jesus is saying to us, there is need for only one thing. Jesus' words are an invitation to receive the presence, the very presence of God. Listen to God's words and to be reminded that our value is not in what we do or how well we do it, but for who we are as children of God and how deeply we understand that this is the worth that we and all life shares together. How can we possibly hear God's voice when we're running in many different directions? I don't think I'm able to. Now, I don't hear this as condemnation either, not even a little bit. Jesus knows of Martha's faithfulness. Jesus knows her and loves her, not simply as she is, but as God created her to be, who God is bringing into being through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that, my friends, is God's promise to all of us. That is what Jesus has brought into the world to proclaim, to point to God's deep and abiding love for all of God's creation, for all of God's people, those of us on the inside, those of us on the margins, those of us lying at the side of the road, those of us hurriedly and busily attending to all the tasks that we have to attend to, and those of us who are quietly discerning God's teaching. And in doing so, God's people would be opened. And that being opened would lead us to hearing and seeing and understanding in new ways, ways we cannot see when we are distracted by whatever the distraction is. And that being made new would compel us to act and listen, to give and receive in a new way, to let go of things, tasks, ways of being, beliefs that no longer serve God's vision for the world. So in this season of ordinary time after Pentecost, in this slower time of summer and time spent in rest from work and time being together with others, God calls us from our many and varied distractions and points us back to the one thing that we need, Jesus. Jesus' love. Jesus' mercy. Jesus' vision for a world reconciled to one another, to God, and to ourselves. In the slow summer days ahead, I invite you to find quiet, still time to sit at our Lord's feet and remember who you are. Remember who you are as followers of Christ, but also attentive listeners to Christ, who tells us who we are, beloved and nothing else. May we all remember. Amen.